You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. The scripture reading today will be in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 19. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so that when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them 50 in a cave and fed them bread and water. And Ahab sent unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks peradventure that we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we might not lose all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass through it throughout. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went one by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah came and met him, and knew him, and fell, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou my lord Elijah? And he answered, said, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wast delivered from thy servant in the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, that they found thee not. And thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come pass, as soon as I am gone before thee, the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither they know not. And so when I came to tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I fear thy Lord, the Lord for my youth. Was it not told my Lord that when I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets, 50 in the cave, and fed them bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubled Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather me to all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat of Jezebel's table. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the readings of his holy word, for in Christ's name we pray, and name we ask it. Amen.
Well, I see that y'all announced I was coming. And I asked Derek not to do that. Always that way. But anyway, we're glad to be here. I thought it was hot in Texas. I told everybody in Texas I was going north to get out of the heat. And I believe it's hotter here. We've opened triple digits, but y'all got more humidity than we do and less wind. And so, anyway, but this is the day the Lord hath made. We will be glad. We will be glad. We will be glad. Okay. Champ read the first few verses in 1 Kings 18. Let me read one verse prior to that, back in the 17th chapter, verse 1. And while you're turning there, Luke's is staying busy. We've just keep having, seem like more opportunities to do things, and for that we're very grateful. We're also very grateful that those opportunities exist at home with the price of gas like it is, and my old body doesn't travel as well as it used to. So God has given us some favor in the local places, and again, and I think I mention this every time I'm here, but pray for us for this reason. Many of the places that we are invited to today can be stopped tomorrow because they receive state money. And unless you have been hidden somewhere in Hugo, Oklahoma, you know that there's a lot of problems, what they call church and state, which actually are totally wrong the way they're presented, but that has, as long as they're doing the ruling, doesn't make any difference. But we're into places and we are getting to present Jesus Christ at the parole office, at drug rehab places that are sponsored by state money. And we could, with the exception of the rec room and our Monday night Bible study that y'all follow up on, and the Sunday school class that I teach, we could be there in no time because the state can stop everything else. And so, thus far, and I know this, I know that many friends, and we make some good friends at the parole office and at these drug rehab places, but they will not jeopardize their job. And I wouldn't expect them to. But they're not going to jeopardize their job to stand up for us. I know that. So just, if God gives us a favor, nobody can stop us anyway. What does the scripture say? If God be for us, who can be against us? So just continue to pray. We need that so much. We have a lot of needs, but we have no need greater than prayer. And I told somebody one time, one thing about the difference between prayer and money, we never waste prayer. You can't misuse prayer, can you? Anyhow, the one verse I want to read to you is back in the 17th chapter. Verse 1 said, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab." Now, this is the first mention of Elijah. He just appears from out of nowhere before Ahab. Ahab was the worst king, according to Scripture, was the worst king that Israel ever had. This man was rotten to the core, and his wife made him look like a saint. If you haven't heard of Ahab, you've heard of his wife, Jezebel. Down in Texas, in a little town, they had a couple of brothers that were just really sorry and no good, and one of them just died suddenly. And his other brother went to the Baptist preacher there in town. He said, "Sir," said, "if you'll preach my brother's funeral and tell people that he was a good man," he said, "I'll put $10,000 in your building fund." And Baptist churches always got a building fund. They're always, and this Baptist preacher just couldn't turn that down. So he got a funeral and he said, "Many of you know that this man lying before me was a thief and a robber. He trifled on his wife, he abused his children, he was profane in every meaning of the word. But as compared to his brother, he was a saint." So he can be good when you get in comparison to some of these things. And Ahab was not bad when you compared him with Jezebel. But both of them were very bad. And so Elijah said it's not going to rain. And notice he says here that it did not rain these years. James tells us that it was 3.5 years that it didn't rain. We'll read in chapter a while ago that he came in 3 years to Obadiah. Now, I stopped to where where most people start in this passage, because what's fun is to read about the showdown at Mount Carmel. What's fun is to talk about when we win. It's always good to, brother, praise God, we're going to kick them, you know. And Elijah challenged the 950 prophets there and just called down fire from heaven. And man, it was great. And Elijah was the most feared prophet in the Old Testament. And we like, you know, I like to talk about him. I like to talk about the winners. Now, by the way, he was also like any other man, because right after that, Jezebel said, "I'll have your head," and he ran. I mean, he called down fire from heaven, but he wouldn't face that woman, you know. And so he's out there hiding. But I want to talk today about contemporary Christianity. That's one of our new buzzwords. We want to be high-tech. I noticed in your paper yesterday, what was this thing they had? It was Life Church TV goes at the movies with Tron-themed campus. Did anybody look at that yesterday in your religious section? I mean, we're trying to dazzle them, aren't we? We're trying to use anything that we think might get more people there. And we'll... I can remember one time that Jerry Falwell, who was supposed to be the fundamentalist of the fundamentals, went and hired a guy or sent one of his guys out to see out at Vegas to see how they drew the people. Practically using the world's methods to get things done. And so we have people standing up and saying, "This doesn't work anymore." Now, the reason they say that, because they've never tried to work it. I really believe that Christianity is pretty simple. I think it's Bible study, prayer, and telling and talking about Jesus. I think basically you got three things. You don't need 12 steps, you know. It's pretty simple. But this year at the Southern Baptist Convention in Phoenix, and Southern Baptists picked on them because they are the largest evangelical denominations there is. And now, one thing they did I thought was fantastic. They passed a resolution that confirmed the Bible concept of hell. Isn't that great? They passed a resolution. I know God was... I bet God said, "Hey, did y'all hear that? The Baptist said there's a hell." But they also admitted to this. Their baptisms fell to the lowest that they've had in 60 years. Their membership dipped for the fourth straight year. Their foreign mission giving fell short of the budget. And as one guy said, "Baptists love to talk about evangelism as long as somebody else will do it." And we're all kind of like that. Lifeway, another famed religious publication, said 25 million copies of the Bible are sold annually. 9 out of 10 homes in the United States have a Bible. More than 400 million copies of all or part of the Bible are distributed through Bible studies each year. But only 16% of churchgoers, not people, only 16% of the churchgoers read their Bible daily. 25% of the churchgoers don't read their Bible at all. More than 50% of people who come to church on a regular basis only read their Bible occasionally. Only 37% of those who attend church regularly say that reading and studying the Bible has made a significant difference in the way they live their lives. This is where you and I live today. I have folks that say, well, I don't understand the Bible. You wouldn't understand the Daily Oklahoman if you didn't read it. See? Somewhere in there you got to read it, man. And so we've come up with all these things, and for the first time, I've never seen this before, which I've wasted so much of my life, there's a whole lot of things in the Bible I've never seen before, but I've never seen Obadiah like I saw him in reading through this the last time. He's the first contemporary preacher. The Bible said all these things written for our learning. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Mankind hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. Holy Spirit hadn't changed. We've still got the same spiritual problems. And here's Obadiah. And the Bible said he feared God, but he also feared man more than he feared God. Elijah come. Now, Obadiah is a right-hand man for Ahab. That's not a good place for a guy to be. That's not a good place for one of God's children to be, the right-hand man for Ahab. Ahab trusted him enough that he sent him one direction to try to find grass because of the drought, so the animals can eat. And not one time does it mention Obadiah praying for any of it. He's just out there hunting grass like the lost world. We got to solve it ourselves sometime. But he told Elijah, he said, as sure as I go tell Ahab you're here, he said, Ahab's looked everywhere for you. He's threatened every nation, and God's been hiding you somewhere, but as sure as I go tell him you're here, you'll leave, and then he'll kill me. You're trying to get me killed. You know that's not going to work. And so here's our contemporary prophet, Obadiah, fearing God on one hand and man on the other. And nothing is more miserable than trying to walk that fine line. Nothing is more miserable than trying to please people and please God, because it can't be done. Let me tell you. It just cannot be done. Jesus said, if you're not with me, what? You're against me. You can't do this. Obadiah tried to run with both crowds. He's over here running with Ahab's group, sitting in the meetings with Ahab's group. What are we going to do about the drought? He's in their planning programs. He's into all of these things. Yet, on the other hand, he told Elijah, he said, didn't they tell you that I hid 100 prophets that Jezebel was coming after? I hid and fed 100 prophets. My question is, what kind of prophets of God need to be hid and fed? Why would you hide a prophet? Why not turn him loose? Let him prophesy. Let him preach. Hey, we got a whole bunch of preachers like that today. They're hiding and somebody's feeding them. And as long as they'll be fed, they'll do whatever they want them to do. Preaching has become a profession instead of a calling in our day and time. It's become a career. And our kids go off to seminary anymore and Bible school. And the first thing they learn, by the way, is that they don't have a Bible. You're going to have to get some higher education. And then they learn that you can't build a church a certain way. Now, if God calls you, He may not call. God calls us to obey. That's a four-letter word that we don't use anymore. You remember that He told Saul, when he rejected Saul, He said to obey is better than sacrifice. Sacrifice was religion. That's how they performed their religion, sacrifices. He said it's better to obey. He said rebellion is as witchcraft. You might as well have made you some little dolls and stuck pins in them down at the church. Then, both sides. In fact, Obadiah and these 100 prophets did no more for Elijah than the prophets of Jezebel at the showdown at Carmel. They're not helping him anymore. Obadiah wanted to offend nobody. When I got here, the first thing Derek asked me, he said, "Have you made anybody else mad?" I have a knack of doing that. God's given me the gift. And usually it's over religion. But I was thinking, in fact, I discussed this, Father's Day, I got to go down and see all my kids. I got to spend Father's Day with all my kids. And I don't know if I'll ever get to do this or not again, but I got to spend it. And we just had a great time, and it was good. And my kids were saved. My kids are not on drugs, and they're not alcoholics. And neither are they very spiritual. I might have one in church this morning. And I got thinking about that. And I thought, you know, I'd really rather one of my boys be a blackjack dealer in Vegas than to be the PR man for Rick Warren. Or the worship leader for Joel Osteen. I'd rather, if they're going to not serve God, they do it in the flesh and not in the spirit. We are living in a time of big leaders, religious leaders, big name people who are almost as anti-Christ as an atheist. I think they're worse because they use the name of Christ to make a living and build a ministry and put it in their coffers. I lost a board member on account of Rick Warren. He was so thrilled. He emailed me and he said, "Have you read about Rick Warren?" He said, he wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Church, and said on TV, he said that he quit taking a salary from the church because this book was a multi-million seller. Some of you might have taken it. I have. Our church did it. We're not sure who's driving the purpose-driven church, but anyway, he said, "Man, he doesn't take a salary, and in fact, he's repaid the church everything he paid it." He said, "Isn't that wonderful?" And I said, "Don't look too hot to me. I'd be glad to do that. If you give me a bunch of $1 million, I'll pay folks back." I said, "Let me ask you this. Do you think he wrote that book on his time or the church's? Because when he became pastor of the church, it's all the church's time. Do you think he used their computer, their paper, their research stuff?" "No," I said, "I'd have been much more impressed if he'd have given the proceeds of the book to the church and him keep drawing that little salary. Now you've got some Now you're doing something. We're going to have world peace. No, not Jesus said we wouldn't. We've got global warming. Basically here in Oklahoma City the last week. I don't know if it's global or not, but boy, it is here in Odessa. We've got it. We've got these things. We're going to get the world so good that Jesus is going to come back. When he said that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Obadiah, I'm going to bother anybody, doesn't want to offend anybody, doesn't want to take a stand for anybody. Let me tell you something. What we do, people can judge us by. But let me tell you something else they can judge us by. What will we allow? What will we stand for? And I've noticed this. I'll allow my kids to get by stuff that I won't allow your kids to. Ever think about that? See, I can allow my grandkids to get by with things that I won't allow your grandkids to get by with. Them snotty little things ought to have a whipping. Mine are just making a mistake. Think about it. It reveals not only what we do reveals us, but what we will allow and put up with reveals us. And that's what Obadiah's doing. Here's Ahab here, and here's Elijah here. And he doesn't want to cause any problem with either one of them, and when they come showdown time, he's not anywhere around because he's worthless. Church at Laodicea, and I know that's not us, but the application, what Jesus did say, and I don't think he changed it for anybody else, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Lukewarm makes me want to throw up, he said. Get on one side or the other. Take a stand. In the world today, we have the unisex look. I think we've also got the uni-Christian look. You can't tell who's Christian and who's not Christian. Sometimes we can't tell if it's a man or a woman over here. And same thing with the Christian thing. Can't make a difference. But we want to be contemporary. We want to be on the leading edge. We want to be where people say, man, aren't they doing good? Instead of just saying, Lord, what would I have me to do? I really think that I come so short of where we really need to be. And for years, I thought, oh, Obadiah, isn't he a nice guy? Man, he's hid those 100 prophets. And then one time, it just opened up the other direction. And what are those 100 prophets doing? Why are they having to be hid? And somebody's got to feed them. Why aren't they out there doing something? God help us in this time. We're entering some rough times. Some of us, I told Clark this morning, I said, the one good thing about being old, I don't have much more time left here. I used to really dread it for my grandkids. I dread it for my kids, too, because things have moved so fast. And I never realized I was getting old until I looked up and all my kids were 40. And now they're all 50. But they were adopted. They were all 25, 30 when I adopted them. I was like, man, I never thought I'd get this old. But we may get the opportunity. I know the people in the countries where it's so hard to be a Christian, where you can't have a Bible and you can read every day about people being jailed and murdered for their testimony of Christ. And they read in our Bible, yea, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. And they look at the United States Christian and think, what? What's going on? Because I've never suffered for Jesus. I've suffered from my stupidity. But I never suffered for Jesus. Never got any persecution because of Him. We lived where it's acceptable. But because we haven't doesn't mean we won't. And it's one thing to stand and say, brother, I'll stand for Jesus. And it's another thing to stand for Jesus. And I wonder how we're going to do that when many times I don't have the courage to talk to a guy on the street, to talk to a fellow I just met, to witness to somebody. Some of us don't have the courage to pray at a restaurant. We don't have the courage to read our Bible in public. We don't have the courage to tell our relatives about Christ. How would we stand real persecution? I think that you and I need to really be in prayer. I think we're going to maybe get to experience what we've been preaching about for years, talking about for years. We might get to be where the rubber meets the road on this thing and see. I don't know. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I sure don't want you satisfied. I think our nest needs to be ruffled some. I think we need to get back to God's ways and not man's ways. We keep trying to reinvent the wheel spiritually, as it were, instead of saying, here's what God said do. You can't study if you don't have the Word of God study. You can't rightly divide anything if you don't have it. So we've got the Word of God. We've got God that we can call on. And we've got a whole lot of work to do before we meet Him. I really believe that. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your courtesy and your kindness toward us and our ministry. But we pray for you, because everybody in here has got places that you need to be a witness. We all do. God help us to have that courage. Our Father, thank you for this church and these individuals that are here today. Everybody here has some heartache. Everybody here has got a burden. Help us to turn to you for every solution in our life. Father, help us never to turn to this world, but turn to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.